Good to see everyone this morning. We're slim this morning, but glad you're here. Got a text from Tyler. Their family went up to New Concord this morning. Good to have Charles here. He's our speaker this morning. Good to have him with us. We'll be singing Beyond This Land of Parting. Still got a cough, so bear with me. Psalm books 538, if you want to go to it.
Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the losses, darkening this, far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies a somber land of bliss, land beyond so fair and bright, land beyond.
Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come here this morning, be able to hear a lesson from your word and be able to sing hymns unto you. Be with Charles. He brings us a lesson the hour this morning. Be with him when he's so what he's learned and taught, and so that he can teach all of us. Be with all the sick and the shut-ins that are away from us, and also be with the ones that's having upcoming procedures and things like in recovering. Be with all of them at this time. Be with now through with us through the rest of the service. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
Scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. That's Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God shall immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain noble went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, here until I come.
Next song will be Looking to Thee. After this song, we'll turn it over to Charles.
Looking to Thee from day to day, trusting Thy grace along the way. Knowing that Thou wilt safely keep all that is Thine. Sure of Thy soul redeeming love, sure of the crown of life above. Singing Thy praise, Thy breaths along, Savior divine. Looking to Thee, trusting Thy grace.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't technology is wonderful until it doesn't work? If it makes him feel any better, I had been asked by a local theatrical company to write background music for a play once. I spent 6 weeks on my computer writing music for this play. It was a Shakespeare play, All's Well That Ends Well. And the sound engineer and I had been talking back and forth for several weeks trying to get it all to work just properly. And then I made the mistake. Went in one day and I thought, you know, I'll check one more time. This is when you had those 2.5-inch floppy disks. Okay, this is a while back. And so started the computer up, everything's fine. Pulled the disk out of my desk, everything was fine. Put the disk in the computer, and in less than 3 seconds, 6 weeks worth of work was gone. Immediately picked up the phone, called IT. They're on their way up the stairs. So I immediately called the tech person at the theater, and I said, all of my music is gone. Production is in 2 weeks. I need that music in 2 days. I spent 2 days recreating what I had created in 6 weeks. I wasn't married then. So I spent 2 days rewriting an entire score of background music for play. It worked. Several cups of coffee later. So when things go wrong with technology, I instantly think about 6 weeks' worth of work that was gone in 3 seconds. And so it was interesting. So let's go on with Luke chapter 19. I'm back up. Okay, we're good. All right. Oh, then this is my backup. Okay, my fault. Okay. Anyways, Jesus has already been, has been to Zacchaeus' house. That's where we are in chapter 19 of Luke. He's been to Zacchaeus' house, and what was the last thing we heard him say? Today, salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, who's he talking about? Himself. Jesus is talking about himself. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save what? Who? The lost. That which was lost. And people heard him say this because they didn't particularly like Zacchaeus to start with. Jesus is making a point. I'm coming to your house today. Salvation has come to your house. Because the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Now, not just Zacchaeus, but the people around the situation heard him say so. So let's go on with the rest of the story. Now, as they heard these things, what things? His comments to Zacchaeus. Okay. As they, the crowd around them, particularly the, those people who didn't like Zacchaeus, okay, he said, they heard Jesus say these things. He spoke another parable, another one, okay. Obviously, he's spoken a parable previous to this one. He was near Jerusalem because they thought, who's they? The people around him. They thought the kingdom of God would appear, and I like this word, immediately. That means now. I'm afraid that's not how this works. Okay, they were counting on Jesus bringing the kingdom immediately. I don't remember God or Jesus saying anything ever in the scripture about it's immediately coming. We're supposed to be patient enough to wait. Okay, now the only thing that I know of that happened immediately was when Jesus healed people, but I don't remember him saying anything about immediate coming of the kingdom. They were counting on something that Jesus did not promise. He said it was coming, but he didn't say immediately, did he? Not that I can remember, unless I've forgotten. Say, yeah, okay, good. Wanted to make sure that my memory hasn't gone completely. So then Jesus starts into the parable, which was part of our reading. He says, therefore, he said, a certain nobleman, okay, this is part of the story, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called his 10 servants. This is going to be important. Remember 10. Okay. He called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 minas. Now, in our reading, it said 10 pounds. Okay, if you go by the English version, that a pound of money is a lot of money. I don't know how much a mina is. I heard it was a month's wages when I looked it up, but I'm not sure how much a month's wages is. Your month's wages might be different than mine. I'm probably pretty sure it is, but anyway, he delivers to them 10 minas, so they each get one. Okay, and said to them, do business till I come. Okay, do some business for me till I come back. That's what he's telling his 10 servants. You notice they're servants, they're not slaves. They're servants, so they work for him. Okay, but his citizens hated him. So the nobleman has gone to the kingdom that he has inherited. And the people in this town, this kingdom, don't like him. Ooh, can you imagine inheriting something? You instantly find out it's a bad deal. This is not a good deal. Okay, he said, but the citizens hated him and sent a delegation. They're going to send a committee after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. They do not like their leader, their king. Okay, we're not going to pay attention to you. Go away. Wow. Okay, now don't, right about now, I had some friends of mine who were expecting me to dive into politics. The answer to that is no, I'm not going to. Okay, politics is a different subject and belongs somewhere else other than here, I think. So you all can do what you want, but I'm not going to. Anyway, he says, we will not have this man reign over us. Okay, so they don't want the nobleman to be their king. And so it was that when he returned from his from being in this kingdom, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants. Did remember the ten servants? Commanded the 10 servants, these servants to whom he had given the money, to be called to him that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, by the way, even though Jesus has kind of sort of plopped you into the story and then fast forwarded, he goes past all the idea of the nobleman traveling and nobleman. He saves you the time because Jesus is being very expedient about the story because he has a feeling the crowd around him. The nobleman went there, was rejected by the people of that kingdom, and he's come back, and now he's talking to his servants. 10 servants. Each one has one mina, 1 pound, depending on the version of the story that you have. Okay, and he says, I need to gather them all together and find out how much money you've made me by trading, investing, doing what you normally would do. Okay, now he trusts all 10 of these people. You don't trust somebody, you don't give them your money, do you? Hey, you know, I need to borrow your car. Well, you know they're not very good drivers. You're not sure you want to trust them with your car. Okay, would you trust them with $10 or $100? I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, this nobleman has gathered together and trusted them to handle the money properly. Sounds like it to me. He trusts them with his money. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. This guy has gained 1,000%. He's gained $10 for every dollar. That's not bad. Okay, regardless, done the math right. So we got a math teacher in the audience. Just in case, we got a math teacher in the audience saying, check my math. Okay, these gained 1,000%. Okay, you got 10 for one. Is that 1,000%? Okay. I just want to make sure I'm doing my math right, because otherwise the IRS is going to come knocking on my door and that kind of thing. Maybe I should not do that. But anyway, for those of you who are doing the math, I'm probably doing the math wrong, which is fine. Yeah, I'm not known as a mathematician. But anyway, you've gained 10 for every one with this first servant. That's interesting. That's a nice investment. Go to the bank, get 1,000% on your money. That's pretty good. Okay. And the master says, he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful with very little, have authority over 10 cities. Now, because you were faithful, the master sees your worth. He's allowed you to be in charge of other things. I think whether it's a city or 10 cities, I think that part of it's insignificant, really. But it shows that you were faithful with one thing, and you've made it grow. That the nobleman says to the servant, I'm going to give you so much more because you were faithful with this little bit that I asked you to do for however long it took to invest, use the mina, the talent, the pound, whatever it is the master gave him. You realize that that was all the master gave him, was just this one thing to do. Just one. And he turned it into so much more. It says a lot about that servant. The servant has to be creative. What can I do with this one thing that he's given me? And how can I use it for the best of my ability? Now, we're not told how he invested the money. But it's not just the money, because up here you have to have this to know what to do with this. You have to think about it. You can't just say, well, I'll just put it over here, or I'll put it over here and see what happens to it. You have to put some effort into it. This in verse 18. The next servant comes. The second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. 5 pounds, 5 talents, whatever amount of money you want to talk about. So that's the second servant they're talking to has invested well, but not quite as well as the other one. Now, does that tell you anything about the comparison of the two servants? Not really. Sometimes that's just the way it is, you know? What you do with what you have, it grew. You hear, the master's not going to complain. He says, likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. You did this much. I'm going to put you in charge of this much more. You don't hear him saying, well, I'm going to compare you to the first one. You weren't quite as profitable as the first one, so... That's not what he does. That's not what he does. But this servant used what he had and gained. And then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina. Remember, every one of them was given the same amount. The first one and the second one invested it. This third one, this is, Master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. Okay, so here it is, my handkerchief. I take my money out of my pocket. That's my mina. Okay, and I'm going to stick it in my handkerchief. And as most guys would do, we take our handkerchief and we stick it in our pocket. What did I do with it? I hid it. I put it in my handkerchief. For I feared you. Ah, servant is talking to the master. I feared you because you are an austere man. Now the word austere, very unusual word. We don't go around saying that too awful often going in downtown New Lexington. That's an austere man. How often do you use that word? Once or twice a year, probably. And we're usually talking about Scrooge during the Christmas holiday season. That's usually what we think about being austere. It's strict, intense. Austere and being stingy is two different things. Austere means you're expecting to make a profit off of something that you haven't invested much into. Being stingy is something else, and being a miser, you know, there's certain categories for that kind of thing. But anyway, being austere, there is absolutely nothing wrong with being austere. Paul McCartney one time often said, being austere, frugal. How often are we frugal? Okay, we have to think about that. We have to remember what I did with my here in a second. But anyway, he says, you collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. The servant is telling the master, you make money off of nothing. And I was afraid. Wow. The other two servants didn't seem to be afraid. They didn't seem to be afraid of their master. They just invested. They did what they were asked to do. But this one did not. He was afraid. So he hides it. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you. The nobleman says to the servant, out of your own words, I'm going to judge you. You knew that I was an austere man. He doesn't hide that fact. The master does not hide the fact that he is an austere man, that he is expectant, that he wants his servants to do the right things that he's asked them to do. I collecting what I did not deposit and reaping where I did not sow. He makes a profit. He collects. That's what he's expected to do. The master is doing his job. But this servant did not do his job. And you notice, at the very beginning of the scripture, the very, very beginning of this parable, he asked his servants to do these. He asked them to do things. While he's gone, he trusts them. This servant broke the trust. He broke. That's important. Because his master trusted him to do something, and he didn't do it. This is verse 23. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? That at my coming I might have collected with interest. If you weren't going to do anything with it, why didn't you just stick it in the bank so somebody else could do something with it on your behalf so that you could bring it to me? Which also tells you that the first two servants, the one that made the 10 and one that made the 5, took a risk. They risked somebody else's money. They risked somebody else's talent. They also risked their own abilities to do something for their master. The third servant took no risk, made no investment, did not do what the master asked him to do. Because he was afraid. God asks us to do a couple of things. Love your neighbor. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Do good works. Do not be afraid. Our next door neighbors see our example. Mean old so-and-so lives next door to me. Yeah, I know. Gotta love him anyway. He's always throwing his trash in my yard. Yeah, I know. But you gotta pick it up anyway. And you can't throw it back across the fence. Sorry. I'm sorry. You can't. You put it in the trash can. Mean old so-and-so is sick. Take him a bowl of soup. Make sure there's not something they're allergic to, please. Yeah. Which means you got to know your neighbor. You got to know what they're allergic to. Me, it's peanut butter. Sorry. I miss peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I really do. So, but I can't. And there goes the peanut butter Easter chocolate eggs, whatever, you know. I can't eat those either. The master says, and he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. You take it from this one and give it to this one. I always wondered, why didn't you give it to the guy who had 5? But that's not how the story goes. It's not my story. It's Jesus's. For I say to you that everyone who has will be given. And for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is where we get the idea of if you don't use it, you lose it. Yeah, you remember that saying? I mean, we all hear the saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. Well, that's true. Okay, and this is the scripture that backs that up, or that we surmised the idea and we squash it all down into something that somebody will remember. Okay, if you don't use your talent, you'll lose it. Well, okay, yes, you will. How do we use what we have? Use it for God. That's how. We use it for the master. Whatever it is we have. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's your ability. I don't care if it's your writing a note to somebody, visiting them. Whatever it is you do, do it. Okay, now, remember how many servants were there? 10. The story only talks about 3. So what happened to the other 7? I've always wondered whatever happened to the other 7. I don't have an answer. Scripture doesn't say. I'm lost. I go, okay, I did this, you know, I was talking to this story to my mother a couple of weeks ago, and she said, she literally asked me, she said, so what happened to the 7? I said, I don't know, Mom. I have no idea. I asked my wife, or I was telling my wife about this parable, and she says, she literally did the same thing. What happened to the 7? I don't know. I don't have an answer. I really don't. Maybe they disappeared. Maybe they ran off. Maybe they stole it from. I think we would have heard about that if they'd stolen it. But it must not matter to Jesus in the story what happened to the other 7. So for those who are listening at home, watching this on YouTube, you're probably asking yourselves, yeah, what happened to the 7? I don't have an answer for you. I know that doesn't sound like much, but that's the truth. But this part I do know. Remember what the master started out doing was going to another country and claiming those people as his own. Well, usually when we get this story in one of the other gospels, this is where the story ends. Is we talk about the ungrateful servant who did nothing with the one talent that he had, the one bit of money that he had. But in Luke, that's not where the story ends. The story ends in the very next verse. But bring here those enemies of mine. Who is the enemies? Of the kingdom that the nobleman had inherited. Bring those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. That's the end of the story. See, most of the time we know the story about the talents. We feel really comfortable about that part of it. But the kingdom that wanted absolutely nothing to do with the nobleman, nothing to do with the king, who thumbed their nose, sent the committee, and said, "We want nothing to do with you." The nobleman says, "Bring them to me and slay them in front of me." It's a tough story. Comparing this to what God wants of us. Judgment Day. It's going to be a tough day for a few. A lot, actually, I'm sorry to say. I like positive sermons. I try to give them as much as I possibly can. God has invested something in you. He has. He's given you something. You, more than likely, are profitable servants. But he will call us someday and ask us, "What did you do?" You notice when he calls the servants, he's not mad at them automatically. He's not mean automatically. He doesn't start yelling and screaming at them automatically. Some of them were profitable. I'd still like to know what happened to the seven. I'm curious. I will be curious the rest of my life and probably never get an answer. But the two of them were profitable. They did what the master asked. God asks something of us. Be profitable. I have given you a talent, whatever your talent may be. I have no idea what your talent is, but he wants you to use it. He wants you to invest it. What do you have to invest into? The whole human race. Go out into the world, seek and save the lost. That is your field. That is your investment. Two servants did what they were supposed to. One servant did nothing. He didn't do anything bad. He didn't do anything good. He just didn't do anything. Zero. On an investment that he was trusted with. Nothing. The kingdom that had decided not to follow the nobleman did even worse. They not only didn't want him there, they rejected him, which put them in the negative. If you're talking about numbers, if you're talking about investments, they were not going to allow that to happen. Some of God's children are profitable. Some of us are not. If we're not, God will take it from us. It's that simple. But those who reject God altogether, it's going to be a sad day. It is. It's going to be a sad day. God will take us. There's a difference between light and dark. Heaven is light. Hell is not. In heaven, you get to sing. Hell, you get to scream in pain. You're either good or bad. You either follow God or you don't. It's pretty obvious. Either on one side of the line or the other. We have an opportunity to be God's children. The interesting thing is, these servants had a choice, invest or not to invest, to do or not to do. If you'll allow me to borrow slightly from Shakespeare, you have the choice to be or not to be. And that is the question. Do you want to be on the side of God? Follow what God wants you to do. Be a profitable servant for God. Or not. That is the question. We have to think about that every day. Hopefully we'll all make the right decision. That we here at South Main Street Church of Christ can help you with. Whether it is prayer, assistance, come as we stand and sing.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare.
Please be seated. I want to thank Charles' fine lesson this morning. If you will, turn to from saying kneel to cross to paramimes, take Lord's Supper, as we do each Lord's Day, as the scriptures tell us. Kneel at the cross.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there, he intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, leave with him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross.
Does anybody need the Lord's Supper?
With this deal being the first day of the week, we know by Scripture we're to do this up on the first day of the week. And it tells us that we're to remember what Christ did for us upon the cross by partaking of the bread that represents His body and the fruit of the vine that represents His blood. I mean, we have what we have in the bag here is remnants of the remember what we have to do. Like I said, we have in the emblems, we have the bread that represents His body, and we have the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that He shed upon the cross. I like to turn to Matthew and read from chapter 26 and read verses 26 through 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. But I am saying to you, I will not drink hereforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You know, like I said, we're to do this upon the first day of the week. We're to do this in remembrance of what Christ did for us upon the cross. Let's go to God and we'll give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we like to thank you for letting us be able to surround this table in remembrance what Christ did for us upon the cross. Bless this bread for its intended purpose. All is in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue our thanks and we'll go to God and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to continue our thanks of being able to surround this table and be able to know that Christ went to the cross. And he went there for us. And we remember that and it reminds us every week that we're to be able to take the emblems that He has that represents His body and His blood. Be with us as we go to partake of the fruit of the vine. Bless it for an intended purpose. All is in Jesus' name. Amen. Separate and apart is the offering. Upon the first day of the week, we're commanded to give back what we've been prospered for the work of the church. There's a box in the back that we have back here where you can put your collection in it. Yeah. And we do this every week. Upon the first day of the week, we do that. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for that. Our Father in heaven, we like to thank you and be able to continue our thanks for what you remember and what you help us remember. And we know that up on the first day of the week, we're to give back what we've been prospered for the work of the church. Bless us and be all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We've been having some copier problems, so we're going to try to get that remedied. There's no bulletin. A few announcements. Make sure you keep Daryl and Karen in your prayers at this time because of both of them are quite ill. Like I say, keep them in your prayers. Got a couple things in the mail this week. Polishing the Pulpit, they're sponsoring a couple of meetings. One is in Branson, Missouri. The other's in Sevierville, Tennessee. They have quite a few keynote speakers. One of them is Don Blackwell, Kyle Butt, B.J. Clark, Craig Minstrom. I'll just put this back on the bulletin board. Like I say, if you going to take a vacation down that way, you might want to see what dates, and you might want to drop in and see that. We got a thank you card here to the church family at New Lex. Thank you for your generous heart and caring ways. There's so much to appreciate about you. Thank all of you for everything. We enjoyed our visit with you so much. May God continue to bless you. Love, Tony and Tricky, Tarul. Is there anything that should be announced that I don't know about, anybody? If not, please stand and Jim will lead us in closing prayer.
Our almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this morning thanking Thee for the privilege that we've had coming here and worshiping Thee in spirit and truth. We pray, Father, that each thing that we've done would be well-pleasing in Your sight. We pray for those that we know of this morning that are not able to be with us, and we pray that You might be able to remove those things, that they might soon be back with us, that those that are healing and recovering from different problems. We pray, Father, this morning as we heard, that we not only seek Your word to know it, but also that we'll be doers of Your word and be the type of servant that You would want us to be. We ask that You'd forgive us of our sin. We're so thankful for the many blessings we have this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.